Morning, everybody. Morning. It's good for Sherilyn and I to be here today. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the Christmas season is here again. It's a wonderful time of the year, the time we remember the miraculous birth of Jesus, a miracle we needed to fulfill the plan of redemption. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came to the earth in the form of a child. One translation says the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, lived among us and gave us a picture of what God is like. And then, of course, we know that he gave his life as a sacrifice for our salvation. I realize that Christmas can also be a difficult time, especially if you have lost a family member this year. I remember the first Christmas after my dad died. We all gathered for our Christmas dinner, all sitting around the table. And my dad would usually make some comments to us and then pray. Well, that time he wasn't there. And we all just sat there for a moment and cried. I think all of us, all 12 of us, and our kids, and our spouses. And then my mom, I'll never forget this, my mom looked at me and asked if I would pray. I'll never forget that moment. I don't remember if I prayed or not, if I even could. But sometimes when we lose a loved one, Christmas and the holidays are difficult times. But the Lord gives us strength, and we know where our loved ones are, and we'll be reunited someday. So we're in a series here called The Greatest Story Ever Foretold. This is week 3. The first week, Pastor Matt talked about the genealogy of Jesus. I was listening to it, and I heard him go through all those names. Did a good job. Give him a hand for doing a good job with all those names. It was a great message about how God used imperfect people just like us in Jesus' genealogy. Then last week, Pastor Matt talked about the obedience of Mary and Joseph even when they didn't know the outcome. Many times in life it's that way. We sense God leading us in a certain direction and gives us a vision to walk toward, and we obey without knowing the outcome. That's what faith is all about. So we heard two great messages in this series with lots of daily application for our lives. I appreciate Pastor Matt, how he brings the Word to the congregation week after week. I know I can tell he studies a lot, and others on the team here as well. And I hear it from people, Pastor Matt, I hear this, how they appreciate the Word of God proclaimed here. And that's the aim that we had from the beginning of Worship Center. Our aim was, and our goal was, and our vision was to help people build their lives on the Word of God. And 47 years later, we're still doing that. And we realize it's the only unshakable foundation to build our lives on. Things can shake around us in the world. Things can shake around us in our own little world. But if we look to the Word, it's the only unshakable foundation to build our lives on. Amen. Today, we want to talk about the wise men. They were called the Magi. Only the book of Matthew talks about the Magi. In the New Testament, those of you who may not be familiar, there's 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And only Matthew and Luke talk about the birth of Jesus. And only Matthew talks about the wise men, which were called the Magi. In Matthew chapter 2, let's look at this portion of Scripture. In verse 1, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote." And they were referring back to the prophet Micah, which said this, many, many years before it happened, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." And then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem, search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So the big idea of this message is Jesus is the king, not just for Israel, but for all the nations and all people. And the Magi's journey represents how even the powerful and wise must recognize the authority and the lordship of Jesus. So you might say, who were the Magi? Well, I'm glad you asked. They were an elite, powerful, fabulously rich, wealthy group of high-ranking priests who were devoted to interpreting dreams and were experts in studying the constellations. You know what a constellation is? Huh? Are you out there this morning? You know what it is? It's a group of stars that many of them have names. I don't know if they named them. I remember as a kid, I was raised in an Amish family, and we would farm with mules. And sometimes we'd work till dusk out in the field, and then we'd come in and, you know, unharness the mules and put them and feed them and put them in their stalls, and then we'd walk into the house. And by that time, it was dark, and it was a clear day. The stars were bright, and my dad would always point out the Big Dipper. Anybody ever see the Big Dipper? I guess it's still up there. I haven't seen it lately. They were scientists, politicians, and religious leaders, and staggeringly wealthy. As a group, they had the ability, now watch this, as a group, they had the ability to depose a king with a single word and install a new king. That is why Herod was so disturbed when he heard they were coming. They were even called kingmakers. Herod was upset because they were looking for the king of the Jews, and he was the king. And they came from the east, most likely ancient Media, Persia, Assyria, or Babylonia, which really is the whole area of Iran. They traveled from those locations to where Jesus was, 1,000 to 1,200 miles on camels. Round trip, it probably took them more than a year. They traveled in large caravans. How many Magi were there? The Bible doesn't say. Well, I thought there was three, Pastor Sam. No, the Bible doesn't say that. You can go read it for yourself. The Bible doesn't say three. Tradition says three. Probably as many as 12 traveled all that distance to see Jesus. Traveled with caravans, many camels and other animals to carry provisions and precious cargo. Probably with several hundred servants, because every night they would have had to, you know, set up their tents and sleep and all that. bodyguards and an army to protect them. So when they would go through a city, you know, like people line up for a parade, put their chairs out a week ahead. So when they go through a city, everybody would line the streets and they would see him coming and see this amazing entourage. As they traveled through the cities, they would say, and the research I did is they would be loudly saying this, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So what can we learn from the Magi? Number one, the Magi was rich and famous and had everything they needed, but something was still missing. Something was still missing in their lives. It's the same with all of us today. Without Jesus in our lives, something is missing. And we all search for it. We many times do not want to admit our need for Jesus, but we search in many places and in many ways to have that missing spot filled in our lives. I remember when I was searching and running from God. I knew what I needed to do. I was raised in a Christian home. I knew, and that was to give my life to Jesus. In the Amish tradition, they have church every other week, and the week in between, my dad used to have Sunday school. Made us memorize scripture in German and English. Bought us a Bible that had German on one side and English on the other. I didn't like it at the time. I'm glad now that he did. And then we would play church, and I'd always be the preacher. I was the oldest of 12. So I had a congregation of, I don't know how many were born at that time, maybe 10. I had a congregation of 10, and then one day my grandfather came over, and he sat in, and I was preaching about Daniel. And after I was done preaching, he came up to me, and he said, "Maybe someday you'll be a preacher." But he said it in Dutch. You want to hear it in Dutch? "Fly some dog wat stoen, Brady, ha." Want to say that? "Fly some dog wat stoen, Brady, ha." Maybe someday you'll be a preacher. When I turned 16, I went the wild way of life. Running from God was miserable. Not knowing what to do, knew what was missing. I knew what was missing, but I was running from it. When I finally gave my life to Jesus, in February 1972, I'll never forget it. I was even thinking, what's the point in living? But I would hear, "Fly some dog, watch doing bready, huh?" Didn't matter how drunk I was, didn't matter where I was, "Fly some dog, watch doing bready, huh?" So when I finally gave my life to Jesus, there was, I don't know how to describe it, an unspeakable joy. That missing spot was filled. An unspeakable joy and peace settled into my spirit and settled into my mind. The next morning when I got awake, I'll never forget it, it seemed like the sky was more blue than ever. And the birds sang louder. I know it wasn't, and I know they didn't. I was just all clouded up. And all of us have a place in our heart that nothing else can fill except Jesus. The second thing we can learn from the Magi is the Magi came from a distance. They had a deep desire to find Jesus. How big is our desire to follow Jesus? How hungry are we spiritually to find our purpose in life? In John 7, it says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who's thirsty may come to me." Anyone who's thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Let's ask God for a new spiritual hunger in our lives. After I gave my life to Jesus, I was hungry for what God had for me. I didn't know what it was at the time. I just knew fly some dog watch doing pretty. But I went out the next day and I bought a Bible, a copy of the Living Bible, and I started reading that, and it seemed like every moment I had for that first year, I just read and read and read and read that Bible. And I began to see who I was in Christ and that God had a plan for me. And Sherlyn and I started taking steps of faith toward what we felt God wanted us to do. We didn't know where our steps of faith would take us, but we took steps. And that's what you have to do. You don't always know where it will take you. So the question is, how big is our want to? How hungry are we for what God has for us? The third point from the Magi is the Magi followed the star. They said, "We saw his star as it rose." Some say the star was the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn, or a comet. But every theory that they came up with comes short of explaining the words of Matthew 2:9, which says, "And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was." The Holy Spirit is our star today. I guess we should say Jesus is our star today. But his Spirit lives in us today. So we could say the Holy Spirit is our star today because he guides our every step if we look to him. He lives in us. He is there to guide us into what God has for us. He guides us in raising our families. He guides us in our work. He guides us in leading our businesses. He guides us in sharing with others the good news of Jesus. He guides us in our marriages. Those of us who are married. In John 16:13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future." The Holy Spirit is our star today, guiding us into the future of our lives. My mom's favorite song was, "O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem." I can still hear her sing it. She was a singer. You know, she raised 12 kids. No wonder she died at 66. She raised 12 kids. And, you know, we thought she never went to bed. We went to bed before she did. And then in the morning when we got up, she was up already. She worked, cooked 3 meals a day for our family and still found time to go out and help my dad with the milking and clean the milk house. And when she was cleaning the milk house, we heard her sing. It seemed like a mile away. It wasn't that far. But we could hear her sing. And one of the songs she sang was, "O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem." Maybe we'll have time to sing it in a moment here. Number four, my last point, the Magi bowed down and worshiped him. Those powerful men bowed down and worshiped Jesus. On their knees, or maybe prostrate before Jesus. Jesus was probably 2 years old by now. Matthew 2:11, it says, "They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests." not just three little gifts. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when they bowed down and worshiped them, it reminded me of Philippians chapter 2, which says, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, which we were singing about this morning, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord for to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Don't clap, I don't have time. He gave him gifts, and they gave him gifts. The Magi presented their gifts and treasures to Jesus. The kinds of gifts the Magi would have given to a high-level king would have been real expensive vases, urns, plates, carpets, clothing, and other items fashioned from gold, silver, and other rare materials. The inventory and value of such items would have been simply enormous. Gold was a symbol of kingship on the earth, frankincense, a symbol of deity, the Lord's deity, and myrrh, an embalming oil of a symbol of death. My friends, in the same way, we worship Jesus today. We give him our lives. When life is tough, we worship. When life is good, we worship. When we worship, our focus is on Jesus and not on the circumstances of life. He then takes our lives and shapes them and gives us a vision and a purpose to fulfill while we are here on the earth. Worship will lift us above depression, above anxiety. Worship will lift us. I'll never forget when our little boy died in a car, in a traffic accident many years ago. And we were asking, why, Lord, why? And one day Sherilyn said, Soon after that happened, Sherilyn said, I think we should just worship God. So we did. We went to our small group the next day. And Sherilyn led worship that night, and we just worshiped God, and it lifted us. It lifted us out of that despair, that grief that went so deep that was trying to get its grips on us. It lifted us. Worship opens up our heart to hear from God. If you need to hear from God in your business, shut the door of your office and get on your knees and start worshiping God. If you need wisdom in your marriage, shut your bedroom door when you're all by yourself, get on your knees and begin to worship God. Worship lifts us. I don't know how many times I needed direction for our lives and I would just worship. It's amazing how that lifts you to a realm that you can hear from God. It just seems like it paves away and takes away the things that are distracting you. Worship. Okay, I'm done. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for this word. Thank you for teaching us through this story about the Magi. Lord, if there's people here this morning that missing piece is there, or right now it's not there, but there's something missing. Lord, I pray that today would be their day to receive you as their Lord and Savior. If you've never received Christ, I want to give you an invitation and an opportunity to do that this morning by praying this prayer after me. If you did and you drifted away and you need to come back and you need to rededicate your life, I want to invite you to pray this prayer as well. And we can all pray this prayer just so no one's praying alone. But especially if you have never made this decision to follow Christ and to receive him as your Lord and Savior, or if you need to rededicate your life. Let's pray it together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth, gave his life, shed his blood on a cross for the forgiveness of my sin. I believe he was raised from the dead so that I can have eternal life. I believe in my heart, and I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for changing my life. I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody look at me. If you prayed that prayer today to receive Christ for the very first time or to rededicate your life, the ushers have a Bible they'd like to give you. Would you be bold enough to raise your hand right where you're seated and keep your hand up until an usher sees you and they'll give you this Bible? Just keep your hand up until an usher sees you. After we dismiss, we have two rooms called the Connections Rooms before you go out onto Main Street. Stop by there with your Bible, and somebody be glad to talk to you and pray with you more. Let's thank God this morning for his word.